Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
Okay, well, I'm back, and I wanted to just take a few minutes here this morning to talk with you about hope. But before we get into that subject, I just want to wish you a happy anniversary. And some of you are like, wait, is it my anniversary? Did I forget something? It's 1 year ago that we experienced the lockdown from COVID, from a global pandemic that, you know, has affected all of us and has essentially changed our world in many, many ways. And so let's reminisce for a minute. Let's just go down memory lane a year ago when we did our first Zoom church, and Jerry and Wendy Hunsberger were so great to help us out with that. We were just kind of like making our way through the tall weeds there, you know, just trying to figure it out. And I look back on that with some fond memories. Like, I actually remember how blessed I was that we were gathering together, even though we couldn't be in the same room. But I also remember how discouraging it was. And I remember some of the bright spots in that. Like, for example, when Wendy figured out, okay, we can do these breakout groups and we can have some prompts and we can send people into groups. And just think about how that evolved for us into the idea of, well, let's get in small groups in homes once things start opening up a little bit. And maybe we'll have some encouragement that can lead to some prompts where in small groups we can be having conversations and getting to know each other. That was one of the things that I was hearing back then a year ago, that was an unexpected blessing, was getting to know people that you didn't really know before. So that's cool. And then the weather started warming up a little bit, and we started meeting outside. You remember that? And it's just awesome view and people walking down the sidewalk, and we're doing worship and we're having encouragement and we're bringing our lawn chairs and drinking LaCroix. And I mean, what an awesome experience of just trying to make do from the fact that we didn't feel like we could go inside. And not that we couldn't, but we just felt like the better part of wisdom was saying, let's meet outside. Even though, I don't know if you guys know this, but I would get emails occasionally, some nasty grams from passerbys who were upset with us that we were gathering in large groups together. And I didn't blow it off, but I kind of did. I mean, we kept meeting. But we also paced it out where it was every other week, because we started to do the Aspen Grove groups that were sparked out of the Zoom meeting. So anyway, I look back on that season, and man, there was a lot of unknowns, right? And there was a lot of opinion, and there was a lot of, you know, tension in the air, and there were just people experiencing confusion because of misinformation, and who do we trust, and how does this all work for us, and fear coming in, and we were hearing reports of really bad things that were happening. And so we started to anticipate that that might happen to my family, that might happen to me, that might happen to my loved ones. And so people navigated that in the best way they knew how. We all did, from one end of the spectrum to the other. And my goodness, I mean, the mask wars and the politicking that started to occur, and all of this just got compounded into this really stressful experience that we've been sharing together over the last year. And with that, I mean, if you start to talk about hope, I would say that we've experienced a lot of the antonyms of hope. And if you look in Webster's dictionary, there's probably about 23 antonyms of hope, the opposites of hope. So whether it's despair or discouragement, or disbelief, you know, fear, the long list of words and experiences and emotions that we've been navigating, and some have felt deeply. And I've personally experienced seasons where I've not experienced a lot of hope. I've had to fight for it. I've had to really take like some ownership of my own well-being and say, look, I'm going to rule my soul here, and I'm going to take my thoughts captive, and I'm going to choose to believe that God is good. I'm going to choose to believe because of not only the words of Scripture, but also my personal history and experience with God and the testimonies of others, that God is good and there will be a good outcome for all of us who put our hope and our faith in Jesus. And so when I think about the word hope, you have to look at it with that definition, the anticipation of a good outcome. Now, I want to take a minute here to read a passage of Scripture that I've read to you, I've quoted it to you a number of times over the last several years. It's the passage from Ephesians 1:18. Many of you might know this. And it's Paul praying to the church. And I've taken particular note, anytime one of the authors of Scripture is praying, if we imagine that the Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that it's the words of God being conveyed to us through human beings as they write, then we have to imagine that if they write down a prayer, that these are the prayers not only of, say, Paul, for example, but these are the prayers that are echoing the intercession of Jesus as he is making intercession for us. You get what I'm saying there? So these apostolic prayers are actually, I believe, they're weighty to me because they give me a sense of what Jesus is praying for us, if that makes sense to us. So that being said, they're prayers not only that we should take note of, but that we should ask the Lord, how can we implement this prayer in our own prayer life for others and for ourselves? Because it appears to me that this is important. This is on Jesus' heart. He's praying this for us. Paul's praying this for the church in Ephesus. And I'll be honest with you, I'm praying it for you. And I would ask that you would pray it for me as well, okay? And this is the prayer. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your heart. Some of you may know this from another translation where it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. But let's go on with this. This is the Passion Translation. Flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is, the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. Let me go ahead and continue to read down into verse 20. This is verse 19. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power that works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realms. It goes on to say in verse 21, far above all rule and power and authority, now, in this age, and in the age to come. So there's some anticipation that the rule of Christ, the supremacy of Christ, the hope that Christ gives to us is not only for now, but for the future as well. Are you experiencing hope? Are you experiencing an increased, increased encounter with revelation of God's calling? Now, I want to talk to us a little bit about the calling of God. It says here that I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. So until you experience the full revelation, that implies a process. So we're in process of experiencing deeper and deeper revelation as the eyes of our hearts are open and enlightened, and we see what? Well, we see the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? Well, what is his calling? A lot of us, and I've done this for many, many years, and I just recently had a conversation with a friend who brought a delineation between calling and assignment. Many of us, we've mixed that. I've thought, well, my assignment is my calling. What is the call of God on my life? Where is he, like, moving in my life to, you know, have me do something or to be with certain people or to be a pastor at this church? I mean, that feels like a calling to me. Actually, that's an assignment. The assignment is different than the calling. It's born out of a calling, but the calling is the same for all of us. We are called by God to have intimate relationship with him. We are called to love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Our calling is a calling into love. Our calling is a call to experience it, to express it, not only to God, but to others. And so the calling of God on our lives, where we will find hope, is a calling into love. The love of God expressed to us, our worship and our adoration and our love towards God, as well as even Jesus would say, and the second commandment is as the first, to love others as we love ourselves. So love is a calling, and our assignments are unique to who we are as individuals and what God would have us do in the way of expressing that love, in the way of expressing the calling that he has given to us. But the hope that we find is not in our doing the assignments as much as it is born out of the calling. We're called into love, and we have to anticipate that what God has in store for us is born out of love. What God wants us to be a part of is born out of love. So love is the calling, and the assignments that we have are unique to us. So anyway, that being said, there's hope for us to experience an increasing measure, which means that despair is going to decrease. Discouragement is going to decrease. Disbelief is going to decrease as the eyes of our heart are illuminated and we get to experience. I love how the Passion Translation puts it. I pray that God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. But let me just say this, that having imaginative experiences with God is not the goal. The goal is to experience the full revelation of hope, in particular, the hope of his calling, the hope of love. So that being said, I never want to get hung up on just, you know, trying to orient us towards the use of our imagination for imagination's sake, although it is a key. Just like any spiritual attunement, it brings us into an understanding, which we could call a revelation, of the hope of his calling. And I love how it's defined here. The hope of his calling is this: the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us. Wait, the inheritances that he finds in us, that God finds in us. If you knew who you really were, what you really carried, I think it would change. I don't think we could live the same way. I mean, if we knew what we really carried, I don't think we would live the same way. This is part of the revealing. This is part of the hope that we're encouraged to pray for one another, that we would experience it more and more and more. Because here's the deal. God's glorious inheritances, plural, not singular. And I talked about spiritual inheritances a few weeks back, right? About a month ago. Listen, that spiritual inheritance that is intended to come down through your family line to your children, well, it's intended to come to you too. And so what is that? What is what does the Lord find in us? Well, when we think about our hearts, we have to know that the definition for that is the seat of your existence. And when you pair that with the amazing promise that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation, the old is gone and the new has come. What has come is the redemption of your heart. Many of us, we would look at our hearts and we would be suspect of it. We would think, well, it's deceitfully wicked. Who can understand it? But Christ would say, no, I have circumcised your heart. I have given you a new heart. Not only have I given you a new heart, but I have given you the power that raised Christ from the dead, and his name is Holy Spirit. That's what God finds in you. And that is the glorious inheritance that he finds in you. So I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. And this is the power that released, that raised Christ from the dead, that God released to raise Christ from the dead and exalted him in heavenly places. Do you know that you're seated with Christ in heavenly places? Do you know that you have the power of God, the resurrection power of God that raised Christ from the dead, living inside of you? Do you know that that's true about you? Well, you might argue and say, well, I don't experience that. Well, that's the reason why we're praying that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you can see the revelation of this. This is true about you. This is where your hope is rooted, because in this, you can have the anticipation of a good outcome. Okay? Even though we're living 1 year into a global pandemic, even though there's all this uncertainty, even though we're experiencing a shaking, even though we have all of this, you know, stuff going on that could lead us into despair and lead us into discouragement and lead us into disbelief, you have to know that there's a greater thing working in and through your life. Now, this is where I get to mash a couple of verses together to really bring this home, okay? 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 10. Think about this in light of what I've just shared out of Ephesians 1. We are like common jars of clay that carry this glorious treasure within, that is this immeasurable power that will be seen as God's and not ours. So we have a frailty. God knows our frame. He knows we're made of dust. He knows we're fragile jars of clay, just common. And yet, what God finds in us is this glorious treasure within. And it is the immeasurable power that is God's, not ours. And it will be on display, just like we read in Ephesians. I love this when it says, then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. So I love it. We have this immeasurable power, and it's God's, not ours. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we are not crushed. Now, we experience pressure, and we could get discouraged. We could fall into seasons of despair. But lift your chin. You're not being crushed. Okay? And at times, we don't know what to do. Can anyone relate to that? I mean, I can. I'll raise my hand with that. But quitting is not an option, because it is God who is at work within you to both will and to do his good pleasure. And there is something of God that's moving us forward. Quitting is not an option. Verse 9. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. I mean, one of the greatest sources of discouragement and hopelessness is loneliness, a sense of being isolated, rejection. Can you understand and can you experience and can you really receive the fact that God has not forsaken you, and he will not? You may be knocked down, but not out. we continually share in the death of Jesus in our own bodies. So yes, we are fragile. Yes, we are made of dust. Yes, our physical bodies experience the effects of living in a fallen world. But the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humility. So friends, we're back around to the idea that we're not exalting ourselves. We're not exalting our humanity. We're not humanist in that regard. We aren't even egotists. Like, we are not egocentric in this. We do not have the strength in and of ourselves. So in our humility and in our faith, we can experience the immeasurable power and glory of God that is within you. And this is our source of hope. And so with that, I just want to encourage you that you may have been experiencing hopelessness. You may currently be experiencing despair. I want to encourage you that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that the eyes of your heart will experience a fresh revelation of hope. That you have been called into love. You have been called by love. You have been called to love. And from that calling, you are on display as having just the ability to express something far greater and far more glorious than everything that we see in this world. And it's the treasure of Christ in you. And that's the hope of your calling. So friends, I'll be back in just a moment with some prompts. God bless you. It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.